Over the years, there's been plenty of things put in newsletters. People have tried to get a message across, but there's been a mixed message. And I just thought I might share a couple of these with you. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Here's another one. The pastor will preach his farewell message and then the choir will sing Break Forth Into Joy. And maybe the classic is this one. The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday. I upped my pledge, up yours. Well, one aim but two messages perhaps. And you know what? Christian living is simultaneous all the time. The Bible tells us that we are Christians who are redeemed people of God and are awaiting the redemption of our bodies. We are people who are sinners and righteous. We are people that are justified and being made like Jesus. We are people who are filled with God's Spirit and are going on being filled with God's Spirit. So Christians are people who live today in the light of the day that's coming. The old is gone, the new has come, and is still to come in the age to come. Christians are people who have been raised with Christ and are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And yet, we still know today the struggle with sin. Suffering for our faith and yet possessing eternal life. Simultaneous Christian living. Christian living is giving yourself to serve the Lord all of your life as husbands and fathers and wives and mothers and grandchildren and grandmothers and grandfathers and as workers and people who run businesses and owners and retirees and students. People committed to the people of God, the Lord's people, committed to the progress of the glory of the Lord in all the earth, committed to growing more like Jesus. Christian living is ministry. If you're a Christian, the deal is you get to lose your life in following Jesus Christ. The deal is a Christian minister, you are people of the new covenant where the Christ has brought you to himself and has given you his Holy Spirit so that you are the new creation. God is eternally interested in the glory of his Son. And you will never find a greater purpose than that. A greater cause than that. Nothing more worthwhile. Nothing more satisfying. Nothing more joyous than to lose your life, giving it away in the service of the King. Spectacular. Impressive. Invariably, it's a struggle. Invariably, it feels like we want to keep crawling off the altar after we offer ourselves to him to be living sacrifices. So this morning, let's sink our hearts and minds into 2 Corinthians 4 and find encouragement from the Word of God for our Christian living and ministry. And in your handout this morning, I've just given four headings. Power in weakness, life in dying, believing and speaking, and seeing what is unseen. Let's have a look at verses 7 to 9 there together. Power in weakness. Paul writes, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." I had the privilege of taking Stephen's scripture class this week. And I walked into the classroom, and on the tables there was 20, maybe 30 clay pots. And the interesting thing about them, of course, is the students had decorated them. They'd made them into a bit of a mosaic. And I thought about those jars of clay, and I thought about these verses in 2 Corinthians. If only Christians would be more impressive and more sort of spectacular and colourful and attractive, then... But that's not what's being said here, is it? In fact, let me show you that. Clay pots are very ordinary, describing the Christian. In fact, unspectacular, I'd say, very weak. And yet we read here we're carrying around treasure, great treasure, inestimable treasure. In fact, we're trustees of treasure. Now, what is in that treasure? You know, when I was about 8 years old, maybe seven, I used to watch a program quite regularly called Bill and Ben. Bill and Ben, the flower pot men. Some of you may remember this program, if you. But this was a sort of a treasure for me in my childhood days. And you see, at some point out of the flower pots, Bill and Ben would pop up. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But this isn't the treasure, is it? It isn't Bill and Ben. It's Christ and the gospel. Christ, the good news in your life. Christ. So you've got this incomparable treasure, the Bible tells us, in such a weak, unimpressive, insignificant, prone to crack people. And it needs to be that way. That's what it's saying, isn't it? It needs to be that way to show God's all-surpassing power as that treasure of the gospel is being communicated. So if you're feeling very incapable about all of this, you're in very good company, because you see the apostle is describing exactly that, isn't he? He knew Jesus' words where he said to Jesus that my power is made perfect in weakness. And there is Christian living and ministry. Very ordinary, weak and fragile, and yet possessing treasure when it's communicated. That's showing the power of God at work. That power of God at work compared with human weakness, like in verse 8 where it says, hard pressed on every side, the physical, maybe even psychological, the emotional, spiritual pressure. Do you know something of that? But he says, not crushed. Or human weakness, such as being perplexed, it says in verse 8 there. Really simply at times at a loss and bewildered in the ministry and service to the Lord. But it says not despairing of our circumstances. And then human weakness, it says there in verse 9, being persecuted. Boy, was he hounded, the apostle, as he made Christ known. But he says there, but not abandoned by him. And then human weakness, like being struck down, like the boxer in the ring. We've all know about Muhammad Ali, haven't we? The boxer in the ring fighting for Christ. There is Paul fighting for Christ in the ring of the world, and he hits the canvas again, and he gets up again, and he hits it again, and he comes around, and he keeps going and hits it again, beaten to his knees but not finished off. And if you read in Acts, in the account of at Lystra, he was struck down. In fact, the crowds basically just got to Paul. They threw stones at him. They dragged him out of the city there at Lystra. Dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead. And it tells us in Acts 14, he got up, and the next day he's on his way, probably bruised a bit, off to Derby. What a weakness and a discouragement that availed, that came on the Apostle Paul. And it showed the extraordinary power of God. So God's power at work in human weakness, and that's that simultaneous Christian living. Then simultaneous Christian living and ministry means life and dying. You'll see it there in verses 10 to 12. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be also revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We just had a bit of a look at all the various hardships that Paul went through in verses 8 and 9. And here he's describing the simultaneous dying with Christ and living with Christ. Do you know something of this? Do you know something about carrying around the death of Jesus Perhaps it's been a time when you've been overlooked for a promotion because, you know, you've stood for Christ and that's just not acceptable in the company you work with. Or maybe as a pastor or a missionary, they decide they have to go here or there or maybe somewhere else for the sake of the gospel, and it's misunderstood and people reject them, even family. Or perhaps a family cops it because their unbelieving relatives or the people in the sporting team can't understand it, that, well, you know, we must be in church on Sunday and that's our priority. Can't understand that. That comes first. Well, as we know very, very clearly, the believers fleeing for their lives because they simply are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. Or the Christian group on the campus at the university that loses their freedom to meet on the campus because they simply want to talk about Jesus. Or the Christian businessmen that they can't support gay marriage and they cop it as the law might come in. We've heard all about it, haven't we? Carrying around the death of Jesus. Jesus, the one who is giving his life and gain you life. Jesus who was dying and Jesus living. And Christian living is both dying and living. And Paul knew it. He always knew the suffering that came from being loyal to the announcing of the treasure that he knew. So in the midst of his dying, the life of Jesus would be revealed. That's how the cross had shaped him. It might be hard for us to hear. Because you see, suffering isn't our tonic. Give me comfort and not sacrifice. Give me convenience and not commitment. Give me fulfillment and meaning, not the cost. And not the loss. Give me better homes and garden. Give me better homes and garden. When I say to you there are perfectly adequate homes and gardens everywhere, give me security. A Christian living is simultaneous. You see, that if you seek first the kingdom of God, God promises to give all things to you. It's simultaneous that by dying to self and living for God, you gain life. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will gain it. I'm sure most of you want to be examples of Jesus Christ, that people might sort of see in your life, in your actions and things that you do, that you follow Jesus. In other words, may my life speak of Jesus and what I do. But I wonder if suffering for our Lord to count the cost would be part of that witness. To be always dying, it reads, so that in your life Christ might be revealed. It's a confronting thought in our day and age. The preparedness to lose our lives and suffering, being weak and so vulnerable, so that the surpassing power of God's life might be revealed in us. What a challenging picture this is. That as you sacrifice and commit and give and labor and serve Christ, giving yourself over to death for Jesus' sake, that is where God's power is being shown. And the resurrection life of Jesus is seen in treasure in jars of clay. So then in verse 12, he writes, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. In you. Not life is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Giving your life, serving the gospel, means life for others. Pointing them to Jesus, who gives his life, becoming the source of eternal life for all who put their trust in him. Life in dying. Gaining life by losing your life for Christ. By daily coming to the cross and daily dying. Always carrying around the death of Jesus so that the resurrection life of Jesus might be revealed in your life. Well, simultaneous Christian living means believing and speaking. Let's have a look at verses 13 to 15. Paul writes, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Again, what challenging words these are, and here is Paul quoting from Psalm 116. The psalmist, as he writes that psalm, is at a time of great pressure and suffering in his life. He's bewildered, and he's facing some major threat. And it seems for Paul that's the same thing going on for him, but what we see here is, like the psalmist, Paul won't be silent. Even as he constantly faces death, he won't stop speaking about the treasure. He has this conviction, as from the example of the psalmist, and he has this conviction from, in verse 14, the resurrection that's going to come, the belief in Christ's resurrection, that believers who die in the Lord will be raised. All will be presented to God. And so this clay jar continues to speak of the treasure. And so these convictions from the faith of the psalmist and the pledge of Christ and the resurrection to present us all before God. And there's a third conviction that he has why he keeps on speaking. And it's because of the glory of God in verse 15. So that as more people hear of the gracious news that God is delivering, giving, so there will be, it says, overflowing thanksgiving as people repent and believe. You know, people were made for the glory of God. But without the knowledge of the gospel, they can neither glorify God nor give thanks to God. And people turn to the gods of their choosing, to themselves. Materialism. Belief has the conviction about speaking about treasure. Belief is the ground for speaking. Paul wrote, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And there will be people at the end of time giving endless thanksgiving for the God of his grace, because some jar of clay spoke about the inestimable value and treasure. And yes, that jar of clay was hard-pressed on every side, but he wasn't crushed. Or that jar of clay was perplexed about what was going on, but she never despaired. And yes, that jar of clay was persecuted because they were serving Christ. And that jar of clay was being struck down time and time again, but not abandoned or destroyed, because he or she spoke. For something was far greater at stake. And that was the overwhelming thanksgiving to the glory of God from the people who received his saving grace. Be believing and be speaking. And then simultaneous Christian living means seeing what is unseen in verses 16 to 18. Just soak up these most encouraging words. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not as what is unseen, but what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Looked at his life, and his body was on the slide. Body had copped a lot, various troubles, and he was suffering for Christ. It was toil. But looking with the eyes of faith, what could not be seen. Every day he was becoming more resilient spiritually, more for Christ, more of Christ, more pressing on in Christ. Looking at what he could see, he saw the troubles, but looking with the eyes of faith, he understood them to be light and momentary in duration compared to the eternal glory, which far outweighs them all. He sees their purpose so that he fixes his eyes on what is unseen. And what is that? That aren't the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus. You know, we're walking around at the moment, and half of us have got colds or lung infections or whatever, coughing, we know what it's like. And it just reminds us that we're wasting away. And we're going to face death. And one day that's going to force me, more so than ever, to fix my eyes on what is unseen. As our bodies slow down as Christians, we realize that the true purpose of this frame is like a scaffold for what God is building in us day by day. That's what it's saying, isn't it? Being renewed day by day. And one day this scaffolding will go. And it will be seen that all the troubles that we endured in this scaffolding serve that purpose of eternal glory, which far outweighs everything we have had to suffer in this life. So we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart that as we serve Christ, announcing the treasure and feeling the pressure, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't get distracted from that. We invest our lives in speaking about our faith, for it will overflow to the glory of God. We keep looking to what is unseen with the eyes of faith, and we understand God is renovating our true selves in us. Even our troubles are achieving a weight of glory that we can't fully fathom. So tend your gardens and plan your holidays and do your exercise and complete your course. And do your work and give yourself to serving Christ and fix your eyes on the eternal risen Lord Jesus. Fix your eyes on him who is unseen. Keep looking into the scriptures and keep joining in prayer and keep committing yourself to God's people. Keep supporting the spread of the gospel and keep trying to speak about Jesus. Jars of clay, trustees of treasure, weak vessels with God's power and Christ's resurrection life, losing our lives in order to gain life in Christ, believing and therefore speaking, for the resurrection is coming and all will be presented before God and there will be overflowing thanksgiving and glory to God. Wasting away, yet being renewed day by day, and seeing what is unseen, fixing our eyes there. So whatever troubles we have serving Jesus, we might consider them light and momentary compared to the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Heavenly Father, root these words in our hearts this day. Let us bear the treasure of the news of Jesus, and may it resound in thanksgiving and praise to your name. Amen.